This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The movie Amistad has just been nominated for 4 Golden Globe Awards. As a result of the movie, nearly everyone in America now knows something about the Amistad incident and its place in the movement to end slavery. The slaves who revolted on the ship were Africans from Sierra Leone. The uprising was led by Joseph Sinque, known in his country as Sengbe Pie. He's now a hero in Sierra Leone. His face is even on the largest denomination of the country's currency. But it's only been since the 1980s that the Amistad story became well-known in Sierra Leone. My guest, Ianolu Osagie, is a scholar from Sierra Leone who now teaches African and African-American literature at Penn State University. She's writing a book about the Amistad and its impact on Sierra Leone. Let's start with a clip from the film. In this scene, former President John Quincy Adams is meeting with Joseph Sinque. Adams is representing the Africans in the Supreme Court where their victory is being appealed. In this scene, Sinque, who only speaks the language Mende, is talking with Adams through an interpreter who has helped throughout the case. Adams begins.
Sinque, look, I'm being honest with you. Anything less would be disrespectful. I'm telling you, I'm preparing you, I suppose I'm explaining to you that the test ahead of us is an exceptionally difficult one.
We won't be going in there alone.
Alone? Indeed not. No, we have right at our side. We have righteousness at our side. We have Mr. Baldwin over there.
Give me Baldwin. I met my ancestors. I will call into the past. Far back to the beginning of time. And beg them to come and help me. At the judgment. I will reach back and draw them into me. And they must come. For at this moment, I am the whole reason they have existed at all.
Ianolu Osagie told me that she thought many important points were missing from the movie. I asked for an example.
Well, first of all, there were many important characters that were taken out that I thought should be there. But also, the story itself just really took a different turn. The reasons why, for instance, they decided to revolt against their captors is so important to state that. They decided to revolt against their captors because they thought they were going to be eaten by the whites. That was the reason why they revolted. And there wasn't even a hint of that intent or purpose, the historical intent, given in the movie.
Why would they have thought that they were going to be eaten?
Oh, it was obvious. They really were afraid of their captors. They thought they had no idea what these people meant to do with them. And the cook on the ship had actually informed them that they would be cooked and eaten, and actually pointed out to them that that's the only reason why they were being taken across the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And they believed him since he was a cook. He was a half-caste, he was a mulatto. And because of that, they decided it was better to die fighting than to end up in somebody's pot. They literally believed that that was what white people were going to do to them. But there wasn't even a hint of that real initial reason why they decided to take that chance that particular night.
Another example of something missing that you think really should have been in.
Oh, yes. Sengbe Pie, who is Joseph Sinque, as Americans call him, was a very heroic character. He wasn't given the kind of, he wasn't elevated in this movie. If you really read the story of the Amistad, read different people's accounts of it back in 1839 through 41, when they were in the United States, you will find out that he was indeed a man of great dignity, a man of great wisdom. I felt that Sinque in this movie was made to have so much rage that he wasn't graceful. He lacked the dignity of a real hero in that sense. I mean, there was a lot of physical presence. But apart from presence, there was other than that, most of his action and most of what he portrayed was anger. And to me, that was a real problem, because that is not the historical Senge that we have.
The movie Amistad ends as Senge and the other surviving Africans who were brought here on the Amistad sail back to Africa. And as the movie ends, there are little printed updates on what happened to the real characters after this. And it says that Senge returned to his village in Sierra Leone only to find it was destroyed by civil war and his family was gone and was presumed to be killed or sold into slavery. What was tearing apart his village in Sierra Leone?
It was war. I would hardly call it civil war. That is a very beautiful political term. But basically, it was war that was born out of slavery. The war was really forced on the people. Slavery had become more or less the medium of financial exchange. You had to somehow be involved in this process. People were forced into it because people who did not want to be a part of the slavery industry, and this was an international industry, their villages were definitely wiped out. So people had to keep running or fighting to keep out of the war. But everyone was sort of engulfed. It was really burning and raging when he got back to Sierra Leone.
Now, when you say that everybody was somehow or another forced to participate in the slave economy in Sierra Leone, do you mean that people were selling other people they knew into slavery or were forced to even like sell members of their own family into slavery?
Well, unfortunately, some of that happened. Some of that happened. Not everyone was forced to sell their own family into slavery, but many times people were taken into slavery from their family through some kind of manipulative deal. For instance, if you owe me £10 of tobacco and I don't pay you, then I have the right to come and take from you anything that I want. And in most cases, that kind of a deal, not being able to pay somebody back really should not have anything to do with taking their children, taking those people into slavery. But it happened all the time. It was an excuse to be a part of the international economy that was running based on slavery.
The Africans who came here on the Amistad didn't sail back to Africa alone. They were joined by five American missionaries, Christian missionaries. Who were those missionaries, and what was their mission in going to Sierra Leone with the Africans?
Yes. When the Amistad Africans were in the United States, they spent almost 3 years because they came in 1839 and did not live until arrived in Sierra Leone in 1842. They left in 1841. Within those 3 years, they did, in fact, manage to Christianize a good number of the Amistad Africans. And the abolitionists, who were the people that helped the Africans to fight for their freedom, had other ideas in mind. It wasn't just so much so that the Africans would be free. Based on the triumph of that particular trial, the Amistad trial, they thought that this was, in fact, a way for them to promote light, quote-unquote, to the Africans by taking the gospel to Africa. And I should point out at this point that one couple out of the five missionaries, there were two couples there, were actually African Americans. So black abolitionists were very much involved in seeing the Africans get back safely to Sierra Leone. And that was one other thing. They could have been captured again as they attempted to sail back to Africa. But going with the abolitionists was helpful.
How soon after Senge returned to Africa did he discover that his family was gone and his village was destroyed?
I do not have the exact number of days, but I would say it would be within weeks. Within weeks that this was discovered.
Did Senge stay with the missionaries when he realized that he wouldn't be able to find his family?
No. He was actually very restless. He was with them some of the time, and some of the time he was out of there. So he was so impacted by this experience that he decided sometimes he would come in and be a part of what was going on, help them, but he was too restless to really stay.
What did he do?
He moved around some. It is said that he was a trader. He did different kinds of things. He did marry somebody else. How successful that marriage was, we do not know. It is said also by one of the missionaries that we can trust that he traveled to Jamaica. For how long he stayed in Jamaica, we do not know. But in fact, he went back to Sierra Leone. When he was old, in fact, he ended up back in the AMA mission house. And it was there that he died. And he was buried on the grounds of the mission house.
Do you know if he ever converted to Christianity?
I would think he did. I would think he did, because when it was time for him to die, that was the one thing he said. He came back to the mission house, to the pastor or pastors, missionaries that were running the place at this time, introduced himself and said, "I have come to die." And he expected the Christian rites to be performed over him.
My guest is Ianolu Osagie, a scholar from Sierra Leone. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest Ianolu Osagie is writing a book about the Amistad and its impact on Sierra Leone. Is it fair to say that one of the after effects of the Amistad story was the coming of American Christian missionaries to Sierra Leone?
Absolutely.
And what impact did those missionaries have on the future of Sierra Leone?
Oh, it was a lot. Their coming, actually, their coming to Sierra Leone changed a lot of things. They fought against the slave trade because this was happening right where, the very place they had come to, hoping that things were not the way they imagined, the way it had been before. And things, they were able to stop the war, the civil war, if you can call it that. And not only that, they gave education, they built schools, churches. They really basically turned the people away from slavery. And they also wrote letters to the British government appealing that they should help in stopping this continued drive for slaves. And this was all happening about 30 years past the slave trade ban.
When the Amistad Africans returned back to Africa, there was still a lot of people who were being sold into slavery in Sierra Leone. Did any of them get recaptured and
Yes.
brought back into slavery?
Absolutely. The story is very interesting. There's so many twists and turns. A lot of the Africans got sold, Amistad Africans got sold back into slavery. And many times the missionaries had to actually buy them back out of slavery to freedom. Or at times, one of the things they would do is use the mission as a form of protection to say, "I am from the mission." And that was a kind of protection for them, a kind of security for them not to be stolen or sold. But I do want to point out that James Covey was the interpreter. He got killed. He was captured during one of those.
He went to Sierra Leone with the returning Africans.
Yes, he decided to go to Sierra Leone with them and to be a part of the mission. And he was with them. But of course, many of the Amistad Africans went back to their families. But at the same time, they stayed close enough to the mission and they were always going back and forth. James Covey, the interpreter that, you know, is so well represented in Spielberg's movie, actually ends up being killed in one of these wars. He was captured and wasn't able to secure his freedom on time. And he wasn't the only one. There were several others. So it was a precarious journey.
Now, one of the reasons why you wrote your book, your still unpublished book, was that, you feel, having grown up in Sierra Leone, that the Amistad story was never really told there until recently.
Yes.
Why do you think that until recently the Amistad story seemed to have so little resonance in Sierra Leone?
Yes, I was surprised when I stumbled on the Amistad story in the United States and I discovered the citizenship and I thought, oh my goodness, I was born there. What happened? Like so many other things, now that I look back, so many incidents, so many things that are going on in Sierra Leone, we have the evidence that slavery must have really impacted the people to the point of trauma, to the point of silencing the issue. Slavery is not talked much about until recently. And this happened when Joseph Opala, an anthropologist, was teaching at Fourier Bay College, the University of Sierra Leone, and he was teaching about Sierra Leonean heroes and put Saint-Pierre, Joseph Sinke, as one of the, listed him as one of the heroes and taught about, taught him. And it was interesting because the Sierra Leoneans that were in his class were surprised to know that there was any such person. And that was where the drama actually started, because as he was teaching, one of the people in his class at that time was Charlie Hafner, who was a teacher, a high school teacher who was taking some drama classes at the university, a diploma course. And he was so impressed by the story that he decided he was going to write a play on it. And he wrote the play, and the play was performed around the country. And this really informed a lot of people who were not aware of the story that, in fact, this is part of your history.
In a moment, we'll meet the playwright you were just talking about, Charlie Hafner, who wrote a play about the Amistad, and that play helped spread the story of the Amistad throughout Sierra Leone. We'll meet him in just a couple of minutes.
Yes.
What do you think is the relevance of the Amistad story today in Sierra Leone?
Before this time, just as Joseph Opala had pointed out, Sierra Leoneans had never really shown any sense of patriotism before. I mean, if you know the story of Sierra Leone, people tend to even make fun of the heroes that they do know of, not to talk of the hero that they do not know of. But Saint-Pierre was the one hero that they heard about and that so impacted their lives that for the first time, they were able to identify with and see something promising in following the career, let's say, of Saint-Pierre in doing what he did, in taking their own life basically into their own hands and saying, we can stand up and fight for that which is right. In fact, when I went to Sierra Leone, I was surprised to see the portrait of Saint-Pierre all over in different neighborhoods on the walls. I mean, it's a household vocabulary. The kids run around, talking about Saint-Pierre, and they seem as a symbol of power and empowerment, you know, self-empowerment.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Ianolu Osagie is writing a book about the Amistad and its impact on Sierra Leone. She's a professor of African and African-American literature at Penn State University. This is Fresh Air.